Hello, and welcome to Hey, Have You Read This? You're joined by writer and author Hayley Savark, which is I, and publicist Madeline Ryan.
Hello.
How are you, Maddie?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Hectic week. Mm-hmm. Today, we are reviewing The Thursday Murder Club by Richmond Osman.
Always say Richmond Osman.
Richard Osman.
You Osman? Say Richmond. It's Richard.
Oh, it's Richard.
I'm like... Who is Richmond? It's a very fancy name.
Who is this football player? Richard Osman.
Boom.
Osman. Jesus. It's by Richmond. It's by Richard Osman, everyone.
Okay? There
we go. We've got it. Oh. Right. In a peaceful retirement village, four unlikely friends meet up once a week to investigate unsolved murders. But when a brutal killing takes place on their very doorstep, the Thursday Murder Club find themselves in the middle of their first live case. Elizabeth, Joyce, Ibrahim, and Ron might be pushing 80, but they still have a few tricks up their sleeves. Can our unorthodox but brilliant gang catch the killer before it's too late? Dun, dun, dun. So, Maddie, I have a question for you. Have you read this?
Yeah, I have read this.
Yes.
May I have my copy? Thank you.
You may have your copy back.
Always have to hold my copy while I'm talking about it. Yes, I read this. I thought it was quite an enjoyable read.
Yes.
I thought it was a very witty and...
clever.
Sometimes. Clever, yeah. And wholesome at times, yeah. Approach to crime in a retirement village.
Yes, very unusual.
Yeah, I think it was a good balance of, yeah, like a crime mystery and like quite a few wholesome moments to it. It was a nice book.
It
to
is
read.
Also a short book as well. Like most thrillers or crime novels are quite big.
Yeah,
that's, I would say.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's like, what, 300 and something pages, I think?
Yeah, it's, yeah,
380 pages. And it's also like, I mean, we do have younger characters in there, like the police and stuff, but most of it is centred around this retirement village, which, I mean, doesn't get written about.
No, and that's what attracted me to this book in the first place, is that I like stories where it's like completely unorthodox characters, or it's like an unorthodox kind of topic. And so I really liked that it's, these
different characters that are,
elderly people at a retirement village who, you would just assume it's a very quiet place where not a lot of crime happens. And they have this common interest of true crime. And so this is the Thursday Murder Club. They love solving crimes together. And then one happens
and
on their
one
doorstep.
One happens and they're like,
well, a couple happen on their doorstep.
A lot more than a couple, actually.
Yeah, a lot more than a couple. And yeah, it's interesting purely just for that
concept.
I think there's some books where, and I think maybe we thought this about Heartsick a little bit, but like the concept of the book, even if, you know, you're not obsessed with the writing or you weren't like hooked the whole way through, if it's a really good concept, you'll still finish the book. You know, you'll push through for it.
Yeah, yeah. It's also the first in a series as well.
So there's three books. The second has. The second's out now. The third one we're waiting on.
Waiting. He has to write the damn thing first.
He has to write the damn thing.
Yeah. I made the mistake of... what medium? You obviously read hard copy, which is preferable.
In parts. I did also...
You tried the audiobook too, didn't you?
I did try the audiobook.
Yeah, see, I did... So, my mistake with this read was that because I'm commuting to work, I didn't have much time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I thought, okay, well, I'll just listen to the audiobook. But it just reminds me why I don't like audiobooks at that much, if not at all. This is not sponsored by Audible. Like, for time-wise, it's great. Like, you can listen to audiobook, have it on the background, all that.
It's very
but I
convenient.
Just found that I didn't listen... Well, I just didn't listen as intently. I didn't absorb information. Mm. So I spaced out a bit sometimes, and I had to rewind it and be like, oh, wait, what's happening?
There's the opportunity to space out.
Yeah.
Because you're not looking at words on a page.
Exactly.
It's kind of hard. I mean, sometimes you can read over a paragraph and you have to reread it because you weren't paying attention.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder, though, to miss things.
So if in this podcast I forget things, then that's why.
Yeah, no, I definitely think... And even this one, like,
Oh, that,
oh my God.
There's a fly in here.
Even reading this hard copy, if you aren't paying attention to certain parts, you'll miss things.
Yes.
And it's not particularly fast paced, but a lot's happening.
Yeah, it does have breadcrumbs, I would say, throughout as well, which you kind of have to... It's one of those books that you think you do have to concentrate a little bit to understand kind of what's happening.
Yeah. It's not some big mystery. No, though. It's not like there's all these... It's fun and it's light.
It's like black comedy almost, like in a way of like... Yeah. Oh, not black comedy. What's it called? Dark comedy. Is it dark comedy?
Dark
comedy? No, it's black comedy. When it's like that dark kind of humour about things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's another thing. Like, they're oldies and they, like... I think at one point they say how, like, they've stopped caring about what people think.
Yes, yes.
Because, and they don't mince their words because they've only got, like, a number, amount of days left.
I would be so, like,
why bother?
Yeah, exactly. You know,
trying to be nice for people. And so there is a lot of that dark humour in there. They're very funny characters.
Yeah. We were saying as well, like, because of their retirement village, they all have their life experience, which adds to the characters, but also, like, the book and the crimes and everything.
Yeah, that's another thing, like, reading through the book, one of the main themes that's pretty obvious, I would say, is how, like, we underestimate the older generation.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And, yeah, the whole book's kind of...
I mean, we always say this with our elder generation. We just stick them in a home and just
absolutely
don't care for them.
This book is a reminder that everyone in a retirement village has lived an extraordinary life.
And are still human.
And still have a lot to give us.
Yes, yeah.
You know, just because they're in a retirement village doesn't mean that that's it for them.
Yeah.
There is life after moving to retirement village.
Yeah. Who knew?
You would hope it would be filled with less murder.
Yes.
But you win some, you lose some.
Well, the only other book that is written by about a retirement village that I know of is the Jacaranda Village.
The Single Ladies of the Jacaranda village, I think.
Yeah. Which is awesome. Like, a great book. But yeah, they're not elder generation, is just not written about.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's always young people. We read about young people all the time.
Yeah. Sorry, just burping.
I'll cut that out.
And although I did feel a little bit lost at times.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, for sure.
I did also feel like quite a few times I gasped out loud when there was a revelation.
Yes, yes.
And I was surprised because I felt a bit down when I was getting to the end of the book. I was sort of like, oh shit, like, it's gonna end and I'm not even gonna understand what happened because I just don't know what's going on.
I was a bit confused by the end.
I was like doubting myself, but then certain things happened and I was like, oh my God, like, I know
together.
I think even though kind of in the middle you can get a little bit lost because there's a lot of different things happening at the end, Richard Osman does a really good job of sort of reminding you of things and piecing things together.
Well, that's what makes a good crime novel as well.
Yes.
It's like that. That's what that's why people read crime, is the thrill of it all coming together in the end when you're like, oh, all the pieces.
Yeah, and it did. There were a couple of loose ends. Looking back on it now, there were a couple of loose ends.
But do you think that's for the next book?
I think it might be. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it might be.
Yeah.
We'll have to
soon. Yeah, we'll see if I'll read the next one.
And speaking of Richard Osman, the author, this is his debut novel.
Yes, I did not know this.
Which is wild.
Yeah.
That is wild. Like, for a debut.
Yeah, I know.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
So it's his debut novel. Richard Osman is the co-creator and co-host of the UK quiz show Pointless.
Yes. Which I've never seen.
Yeah, you haven't seen it. But I feel like you would have seen some of it. It's like on ABC.
I don't think so. Like, the only thing I've seen is that Stephen Fry thing, which sounds very similar, where they go, oh, did you know? And then they try to guess the fact.
Yeah, it's more so...
Is it called Q&A? Not Q&A. What the hell is it called?
That's QI.
QI. Thank you. Yes, QI.
I feel like I sound like I'm such a UK quiz show expert. But Pointless is like, you have to try and get 0 points. So, like, it's kind of like Family Feud, where it's like the most people voted for this. And in Family Feud, you want to pick the answers that most people voted for. But in Pointless, you want to pick the ones that people
did
the
least. See, I would have thought that it's because it's the Pointless show. Like, what's the point?
Maybe. I mean, I haven't really watched enough of it, but he has a very distinct personality, and like once you see his face, you know you'll remember him.
So do you think a lot of his personality reflects in this, his writing style?
I think so. He's a very funny guy. He's also a comedian. I feel like every British TV presenter is also a comedian.
But
he is very funny.
Okay.
He kind of like sits off to the side and is like the smart guy with all the answers, and so like once a round's over, he'll be like, okay, well, like, good job, but if you wanted this many points, you could have said this and you could have said this. And he, like, is a smart person.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think his personality does shine through because he is a funny guy.
Yes.
And he does have that, like, dark humour.
Yeah. I think as well, like, I just want to say, because it's obviously it's written, you know, he's British, United Kingdom. But a lot of British humour translates very well to Australian humour. Like, we find, we watch a lot of British shows in Australia, and we find it more funny, I would argue.
I love British humour compared to American humour.
Because it's, American humour is very, very different. And I think we really like that British style humour and vice versa, like Australian humour, because we are kind of, you know, the same English.
Cut from the same cloth, as they say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I think American comedy sometimes can be a bit like, I don't really get this, you know.
Yeah.
Don't understand why this is funny.
Yeah, it is. It is very different.
So if you like British humour, crime, thriller, fun.
That's what it is. It is British humour.
It's British humour. Yeah. Absolutely. Because there were some really funny.
There are some really funny parts. Yeah. A couple of my quotes are pretty funny.
Yes. I can't wait till you read your quotes. Maddie's also written a plethora of like an essay on this film.
I like She's to come prepared.
Very prepared for Heart Sick, so.
Yes, you know, that is so true. Absolutely.
You know, so you're prepared this week.
So the next thing on my list of things I need to talk about,
the structure,
is the fact that the sort of narrator, it switches from Joyce's perspective, which is one of the characters, to like a third person perspective. How did you find that?
Usually I hate it.
We don't like that here.
We don't condone this on this podcast. We don't like switching narratives.
Unless it's in like a fantasy.
But usually I hate it, but I actually really liked it. I think it made sense, and the novel wouldn't be what it was without it. Like,
yeah.
It's good to get those different perspectives.
Yeah. I actually had a big think about this. As I wrote down that question in my notes, the words just like came to me. So I liked that, right? I liked how we had Joyce's perspective and it was written like a diary.
Yes.
And I thought that that made her seem like a really trustworthy person. And I thought that that meant that we were leading towards maybe a revelation that Joyce had something to do with the murder.
Yeah, which we won't give anything
away. I'm not going to say anything. Like, it could have, it might not have, but there's one particular instance where I have a little bit of beef about, I feel like it was a missed opportunity. Okay. Yeah. So I feel like because we get, you know, a lot of the book is from Joyce's perspective, and especially in her diary, it's a lot more special and like personal. It's a lot more personal because it's her diary. And so we trust her more than any other characters.
See, listening to the audiobook, this is where because from an audiobook perspective, when it would change chapter, sometimes I'd be like, what are we in?
It'd be a bit confusing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Good to know. I'm going to try and navigate this next part without giving anything away.
Okay.
Just know that, she might have something to do with it. She might not. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that they missed an opportunity in this one part, I thought, to have a bit of a revelation. But anyways, there's one part where Joyce is writing, Joyce has been given an opportunity to write in like the community newsletter. And they talk a lot about the fact that she puts her photo
in the newsletter. Newsletter.
So then, that's like, I don't even know, like probably in the middle. And then like way later, we get one of those moments where it's like, oh, who could have possibly done it?
Yeah.
What?
Oh,
like,
who is it?
And then someone's like, that's the person right there. And they point to like the newspaper and they're like, that's the person who did it.
Mm.
And so, but they don't say like, that's a picture of this person, that's a picture of this person. But instantly, that was one of the moments where I gasped and I was like, oh my God, it's Joyce.
Yeah.
Because my mind automatically went to the fact that they were talking.
It sets it up like that.
It felt like
quite
it was
clever.
Setting it up.
Yeah.
But then it wasn't Joyce, it was somebody else. Mm. And I was like, that's, and I'm not saying that that, like, is
a spoiler.
Yeah, I'm not saying that that's, like, I don't think that actually gives anything away.
No, it's not a spoiler, because there's much more to it than that.
There's so much more to it. Yeah. But I was just like, that, like, why would you talk for, like, why would we, like, learn about her doing this community newsletter?
Oh, why would we, Maddie? Why would we?
Isn't it weird, though?
No, it is weird. Yeah.
I'm like...
It is.
I was just kind of like, oh, okay. But I felt like a bit of an idiot for being like...
No, because that is what makes good thriller crime novels, is they lead you in a certain direction, and then you go, oh, it has to be that person. Oh, wait, maybe. Oh my God, it's not. So that when crime and all has done really well, they put all these, like, bits and pieces in to lead you in different directions to keep you guessing, and that's what keeps you intrigued. Yes.
I don't know, I felt like there were a few of those, but it was like, I don't think it was done especially well.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I just felt like...
No, I agree.
Oh, like that's, but then it's a not, plot hole almost. Not.
Yeah, I agree.
It didn't make me think, oh, I keep switching who I think it is.
I think it's because it's like, it's not, I wouldn't probably class this as like thriller crime, like, because it's not hardcore.
No, it's
more
really
of like
not.
Comedy kind of crime, if that makes sense. So it's like meant to be fun, you know, and so like you're not really looking, oh, it's a plot hole, but whatever, you know. Whereas if it was a plot hole in a James Patterson novel, you'd be like, James, like, that's James. James, you're the top writer in the world, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
James.
Absolutely.
It's because his is so serious, and it's like quite, you know, intense kind of crime.
Yeah, absolutely. This is very quiet English town.
Well, sort of. Yeah.
It didn't, it's like, the same effect.
It's, yeah.
Now I want to ask you what you thought about the book structure, and I'm going to do that thing where I ask you a question and then I sort of answer it anyways.
Okay. Yeah.
But I do want your opinion on it. Okay, but so I thought that it was a very easy book to read.
Yeah, oh, super easy.
Very easy, quite short. Yeah. But it obviously did lose me a couple of times, and I felt like it was because we went down a few tangents, and I didn't necessarily think they were essential to the overall storyline.
Yeah.
But, like, so the plot is very thick, and we get a lot of different, even though it's slow-paced, we get a lot of characters.
A lot of
side stories.
Yeah.
And so that's why it kind of felt a bit more like tangents to me rather than side stories. Yeah. And not all of the ties get, you know, neatly tied up. For example, the trip to Cyprus.
Yeah, what the hell? Why?
What
was the point?
I feel like I
pointless,
page,
like the
and
show.
Then, and then they were like, literally, and then they were like, oh, we're going on a plane to Cyprus.
And you're like, what
and
for?
I was like, why? Are two 90-year-old men what jumping for? On a plane to Cyprus?
Yeah.
With the detective.
There's no reason, by the
way. I'm like, because, like, and it's
also,
funny,
this would never happen, like, a citizen crime, like,
that's
a detective. Oh, come with me.
I know that, like, the purpose, that, like, it had a purpose to the overarching investigation, but I just didn't think that it was believable.
No.
Because I realize this, I feel like this book, have you ever seen Midsommar Murders?
Yes,
you know,
my mum
used
to watch that.
My parents like it.
My mum was all about
so
it.
So when you watch Midsommar Murders, you're not like, oh my God, there's been a death.
Yeah.
It's not like...
It's very normal for
the
show.
It's not very serious. It's like, and because it's like a quaint small town, it's like, I don't know, death seems less crazy. Whereas like if you had a serial killer in the city, you know, like TV shows based around like city life is very more like
very
fast-paced
intense.
And it's intense.
Yeah.
And so I just was like a bit like,
what is
but
this?
But this is a small town murder. Why are you in Cyprus?
Yeah.
That just seemed a little bit of a stretch to me.
Yes.
And there's like a crime ring in Cyprus
and
you're
like,
thinking it's linked. And I was just like, why are we in Cyprus?
Yeah, what?
And they're there for like a day and then they come home and I just thought...
And you think, what's
I feel
the,
like
what's
that could have been cut out.
What's
I just don't think you could have completely gotten rid of that element
well,
of it.
Well, yeah, we'll see. We'll
it
see.
Just got a bit... Maybe...
Maybe in the next novel
maybe
there's
all
something...
these things that I didn't like are building up to something bigger in the second
perhaps.
One. I don't know.
I think, like I said with me, just based on the structure, I have made the mistake of an audiobook and I will not do this again because I sometimes spaced out and then I'd have to rewind and be like, wait, what? Because I don't think the structure helped with that.
No.
Though,
because one chapter, you're in Cyprus and then next you're back at this retirement village
and I was
in
like,
England.
Wait, what?
So it is hard to keep up with it.
Yeah.
So I think I would benefit from reading a hard copy. And if I did continue with the series...
To a degree, though. Because yeah. I struggle.
Yes, and that's the thing is, like, God, if you struggle with the hard copy, then,
yeah.
you know... But then, okay, just on what you were saying as well, with multiple characters and tangents, I did find that jarring because of the audiobook. It's actually good that we've done this on different mediums because now we have different things to talk about, yeah. you know, like... Mm-hmm. So, but, yeah, I don't recommend the audiobook.
I think that...
It's just, you can't. You yeah. need to read it. You need mm-hmm. to. But I found it quite confusing because I was like, what character... I'd forget what character and then I'd be like, wait, what character are we following? Why are we here? And then that's when I had to, like, rewind it and kind of go,
yeah.
What's going on? Yeah. But, like, in saying that as well, I'm used to lots of characters in novels because I read fantasy. Mm-hmm. But there's always kind of a purpose. Like, there's a reason why that character's involved.
Yes.
Or, like, even if it's yes. a very, very small reason. It could be, like, the local healer at the village. But yeah. there's a reason why they're there.
Yeah.
With this novel, I was kind of like, what?
Yeah, you know? Some characters are unnecessary. Yeah. At least right now they're unnecessary.
Yeah.
If they're, you know, necessary in future.
In future novels, but, perhaps, yes, yes.
Yeah, and so... And also, like, you're trying to remember everyone's individual motives.
Yeah.
You're trying to think, okay, well, that is a property developer, and so he wants to develop the land, and then this person has beef with him because of something that happened ages ago, and you're trying to remember all these people... And then more people are dying and you're like, wait, was that the property developer who's dead now? And
that's what how I felt. Especially it was a lot. Yeah, especially in the like audiobook. I was like, wait, who's dead?
Yes, exactly.
Who's dead?
In you a know? When you're reading the hard copy. Lot of murders. And there's nothing wrong with that. When you are reading a hard copy, there's nothing wrong with going back and being like, wait, Ian Ventham, who was that? And then going back and being like, yes, okay, the audiobook gotcha. Is
more difficult. Like exactly. you can't be like, where was that section?
An audiobook you can't do that. No. So that's hard.
No, exactly.
So yeah, speaking of the murders. When I was looking through some online reviews,
yes, the blogs.
So obviously there's a few murders happening, but I didn't actually count how
neither
many.
Neither did I.
Not murders, actually, just deaths. Mm. How many people died in this book, but it is about 7 or 8.
I know.
People dying.
Which is insane. I didn't realise it was crazy. This much.
Yeah. So there
for a short book as well.
So there are two main murders, and they're actually murders, and that's basically what this criminal investigation is revolving around. But then there's also, like, 5 deaths. Other deaths.
Yeah.
Some in the past, some in the, like, pretty recent present, some... happen after the investigation. And like you're also trying to figure out, are these malicious, are they not, are they connected to the murders that are being investigated? So it's just, even though it's like, again, a very slow book, it's like you're still trying to piece all these people together and characters. You're trying to remember who these characters are, you're trying to remember everyone's motives, trying to remember the people who have died.
Yes.
And there's some in the past, and so you're like trying to remember how they're connected to people in the present, and it's just, it is a lot. So I found it really helpful to read a short summary of the murders,
which I should have done.
Yeah. So hindsight. And I did it this morning. It's really helpful after you finish the book.
Yeah.
So there's heaps of resources online, but I read a blog called Learn Writing Fiction, and it's by a guy named Ricardo, and it was so bloody helpful. Mm. So
thanks, Ricardo.
There are spoilers though. In the, obviously, because
it's like a review.
It literally says, like, this, the first investigation, second investigation, this person's dead, this person's dead.
Wow, so he went full
and then he goes, like, who they were, what their kind of storyline was, and then who murdered them, how they were murdered, why they were murdered, like, what was the motive.
So full on into it.
It was still pretty brief, though, but it was just nice, short, like, to the point about what happened to each person.
Yeah.
It was really helpful. Yeah. I was like, oh. Okay, gotcha. Made a lot more sense.
Yeah.
So there are spoilers, but I would recommend it to anyone who, if you finish the book, because I don't think, and there was heaps of comments on this person's blog being like, absolutely, like, this is amazing. Like, I finished the book still being a bit like, oh, so who killed
that's how I
this
felt.
Person?
Yeah.
Who killed Tony? And so this really helps. Just at the end, and it's not like, I don't think I don't know, like, I don't think it's, like, bad at all to be going, like, at the end of it, to be reading something like this and just trying to get your head around it a little bit.
Understanding what's going on.
Yeah, like, I'm very glad that I read that because I'm like, okay, I kind of get some of the things that happen now.
Mm.
I get it, I get the ending. Because a lot of things happen at the end. It's one of those typical mystery, like crime mysteries, where it's like everything comes together at the end and there's all this stuff happening.
But there's also stuff that isn't kind of come together, which obviously is for the next couple
of books. Yes, yes. Yeah. One thing, in fact, is the, I mean, did the photo that was left at the crime scene, did that ever get sort of...
No.
Yeah, that nothing really happened with that.
Well, we don't know. Well, would anything happen in the other books, though? Or is that gone?
I don't know. Maybe.
I feel like that's gone.
Yeah, well.
Just little things like that, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, you were at a little bit of a disadvantage listening to the audiobook.
Yes.
But was there a particular character that stood out to you that you really liked? Or maybe that you disliked? Was there anyone you didn't particularly like?
Sometimes I really just didn't like Joyce.
Interesting. Interesting. All right.
I think I just, like, I don't know. No, it's not her. It's Elizabeth.
Elizabeth's the pushy one. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. No. Mm-hmm. No, I made a mistake. It's Elizabeth.
Joyce is very quiet.
Yeah. Joyce is the quiet one for the diary entries.
Mm-hmm.
So Elizabeth's there's a character,
like a sticky bee.
Yeah. A character named Elizabeth is quite nosy in people's business. Needs to have control, you know, that kind of thing. And I found her quite annoying sometimes.
Yeah.
Which is the whole purpose of her character, obviously. Exactly.
But she's so handy as well.
So handy.
She's one of those characters that, like, you know she's annoying, but you're also like, if you need something done, you get Elizabeth on.
Yeah. I think character I quite liked was Ibrahim.
I say Ibrahim, but I think a lot of people say Ibrahim.
I would say Ibrahim.
Ibrahim, yeah. It's not Ibrahim.
Ibrahim. Here I am being British. Yeah, I quite liked him. I thought because he was, like, a bit, you know, like, stoic, I guess, in a way, and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I,
He wasn't standout. I don't think, to be honest, I don't think there was standout characters that were like, oh, I love this character. It was just, like, I liked most of them. Yeah. For different reasons, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I liked Joyce's husband. Doesn't have much to do with it. He's kind of like
blasé.
Played off. He's played off as like just a guy in the background.
He's just there.
But he, like when you get to the end, he plays a very integral part, and he's
great.
Like I like him, and he's very nonchalant.
Yeah.
And.
His background noise until the end, pretty
His
much.
His background noise until the end. Yeah. I liked that. That was a nice touch.
Yeah.
Anyone
you didn't like? You didn't like Elizabeth, obviously. You had problems with Elizabeth.
I mean, she was a bit annoying, but...
That's the whole point of the character,
She was funny, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
She was really funny.
She's quite witty, actually.
She was very witty and, like, cheeky and...
Cheeky, very cheeky. Oh, my God.
Not afraid to, like...
Well, she got stuff done. Like, if... I feel like she kind of... Not the glue. Well, kind of. Like, she kind of just got things going a lot of the time.
I think that Joyce was the glue. Because Joyce was the friend to everyone.
Because she was trying to be the mediator.
Whereas Joyce is a lot more subtle. Whereas Elizabeth is, like, pushy.
Full steam ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, she'll stick her nose into everyone's business and...
Which gets things done, actually.
Which gets things done. And it is effective.
It is effective, actually, yeah.
Did you know who... did it. Like, and I know, obviously there's not, like, a one murder that you could really, like, it's not the same murderer for everything, you know? There's multiple things happening. So, did you at any point know what was happening? What happened?
It was, like I said, it's difficult because the audiobook made it, I think I should have read it, you know, like, so it made it more difficult.
I don't even think that, like, and I've heard so many people online saying that it's not one of those books, like, you don't know who it is until the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's good like that. And I liked, I liked some of the revelations, some of them I didn't love necessarily.
Yeah, yes.
But look, my next question is, would you read the next book in the series? And I know you want to say no.
Yeah.
But... I have heard that it is far less complicated, but just as funny and witty as this one.
I think...
Does that change your mind?
Yeah, look, I think I would, but I'd actually read it, not audiobook it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I also think, you know, debut novel is always like rocky waters type thing before you find your feet and you start smooth sailing after that. So I think... Yeah, the second novel is probably going to have a lot. Usually second books are a lot better, like, in a series. Yeah. Like, I always find... Yeah. I've always found that, like, even with fantasy, novels, you read the first one, you're like, oh, it's pretty good. And then you read the second one, and because you already know what's going on, you're already familiar with the world and the characters. Like, it's, there's no groundwork to be laid as an author anymore. Absolutely. You're like, here we are, guys. And yeah. you know exactly what's going on. And yeah. so you can just progress with the story. And yeah. that's why second books are always kind of better in a way, because you're like, right, let's go.
Yeah.
And everyone knows what kind of what's going on. So I think, yes, I think I would be curious about the second one and reading the second one based on that premise alone of it's going to probably be a better story
mm-hmm.
than this one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be easier because we already know.
We know the characters.
We know the characters. Yeah. yeah. And same with you, I would assume that
yeah,
you
absolutely. Would. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. yeah. I definitely think I, like we said at the start, I love the concept.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I liked the writing.
Yeah, so, the writing's you know, great. Yeah, yeah.
I got lost, but yeah. it makes me think, like, is that just me? Like, obviously it's not. There are a few people no, who also I mean, share that.
Yeah.
And I don't read a lot of yeah. crime books, no. so I'm not used to having to, you know, pay attention to every single yeah, line. Detail.
Yeah.
And every single tiny detail and work things out, sort of. So, yeah, so I'm actually excited to read the next one.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I really like this gang of...
gang of oldies, solving crime.
Solving crime.
Thursday Murder Club.
Yeah.
Meeting every Thursday.
Yeah, I really liked it. I also, when you were just talking about that, I found it really interesting that we don't really get much description of the four main characters.
No, because I think that's purposefully done, though, yeah. so you can make it up in your head. Like, yeah. I really like that.
I got to the end and I was sort of like... What do I don't even like? Think I know what yeah. these characters like. I don't have, I might have missed it, but I don't feel like we got told that one person has brunette hair and one's blonde.
No,
I don't think we got told that at all.
Yeah.
We obviously learned that they're like some of them are more frail than others.
They're all grey and old.
But that's yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. And that's a bit rare. To you know, not be given much.
Well, yeah, it is. Like usually there is a character description, but it's like, it's kind of laced into the story of like you know like her. Short hair was easier to maintain or something or like her long brown hair flowed in the wind so you're like oh she has brown hair like obviously like yeah. it's not like this character had brown hair like it's usually laced in the
yes,
story
absolutely
I can't remember whether it was laced into
I
this
don't
one though
I think it was I could be completely mistaken yeah. but I don't think it was
I think it was
maybe that is purposely done though because
it's not about that
it's yeah. not and it's also about their minds they're all very wary of their age Yeah. And they're terrified, all of them are terrified of losing their minds.
It could also
be
like...
Which is why the Thursday Murder Club happens because it keeps them all...
Keeps their minds active. Yeah. yeah. Yeah, in the retirement village.
Yeah.
But it could also be a... like, I'm assuming it's purposely done by Richard, but, like, it also could be done on the premise of, like, not associating different characteristics with, like, a murderer, potentially. Like, you know, like, trying to keep it very open of, like, no character
yeah,
description.
Okay, okay.
You know? So, like, I mean, that's what I would think if you're writing a thriller. You'd go, okay, no character descriptions because anyone could be the murderer.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So maybe that's done purposely.
I would agree with that because I think yeah. one of the only characters that we do get that we do get a good description of is the detective.
Yeah.
And he's sort of like a safe bet. He's, you know...
Clearly it's not him. Yeah. Yeah.
That's so interesting. Mm. Wow, what a great point.
Mm. I think that would be the reason, yeah.
Do you have some quotes to share?
No, because I... because the audiobook, it's yep. you can't... Nothing
no
stood
more.
Out. Yeah. Maddie
well,
has some.
Lucky
though.
I've come
prepared. Lucky Maddie has 700.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your first quote?
So my first quote is, this is the first time that the detective on the case has met the Thursday Murder Club.
Yes.
And essentially, they've, like, sat him down, he's squished between half of the team, and he's got a cup of tea filled too high.
Oh, yes.
And he's got a massive slice of cake that's just been put yeah. on his saucer. And it just kind of shows the humour of this book, like...
Yeah, yeah.
Chris cannot even attempt to sip his tea now, as lifting it to his lips would unbalance the cake, and lifting the cup off the saucer would tip the cake in the saucer's center and make it impossible to put the cup back down again. He feels sweat start to trickle down his back, reminding him of the time he interviewed a 25-stone Hell's Angels enforcer with "I Kill Coppers" tattooed around his neck. Like,
you're not meeting bikies, mate.
There was something funny yeah. about that, though, where it's like, it's another reminder of the fact that just because these people are obese does not mean that they're in any way
incapable of instilling intimidation.
Yes. They are an intimidating bunch.
Yeah.
Whether it's just like by numbers, you know, that makes a few of them.
That makes me laugh because it's a perfect way to like kind of describe nervousness as well, or like anxiety in a way of
you overthink. But if I pick this up, then this will happen.
But if I do this, then this will happen. I can't pick up that, you know.
Yeah.
It's like when you're at like a, I don't know, like a job interview or like something, like where you're a first date even.
Yes.
And you kind of are overthinking everything you're doing. You're
hyper aware of everything you're doing and you're like, oh no, I better not order pasta. I can't move my elbows up and then this will happen.
And then this will happen.
And then you're like, and if I lift this up and then my cake slides down, how will I put it back down because I don't have a spare hand?
He's asked me a question and my mouth is full and now I have to just be like, sorry.
And I also think like it's it shows just how, again, pushy, like Elizabeth is the one I think Joyce hands him the tea that's filled too high.
Yeah.
But Elizabeth's like, please take some cake. No, I insist, like, and shoves it onto his plate. Yeah.
Which old people do.
Yes. And
you go to your nana's house, she's like, eat. And you're like, she's oh my God.
You're starved. Yeah.
You're so steady.
Literally. Like,
Nana.
Nana, please. Yes, that's exactly what the detective thought. Okay, so my next quote is pretty much, he's leaving this encounter. So he's talked to them and he's leaving. Donna smiles as Chris virtually bows to Elizabeth and Joyce. It really was an education, says Joyce. It really was an education, says Joyce, with a smile. And you should probably let Donna drive DCI Hudson. There was an awful lot of vodka in those cakes.
Oh my God, that's right.
I love her. She's so funny. She's like, eat the cake. And then she's like, oh, there's probably shouldn't drive. I put vodka in that.
Who puts vodka in cakes, by the way?
I know. Maybe it's like an old recipe,
I feel though. Like it's an old recipe. Like the brandy stuff and like...
It know. Might just be like a... Yeah, maybe it's...
My nanny used to have like a wee bit of like... not cherry, what's it called?
Chambord? Chambord?
No, it's like... have like a sherry or something. A sherry. It's called sherry. Yeah. You'd have a sherry and she'd have like a little, like a wee nip.
She'd call it.
A wee nip of sherry.
Uh-huh. And like, a nightcap.
That was like, nightcap, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, Nana.
Nana, naughty bugger.
Can I have some? No.
No,
you cannot.
Okay, now my last quote that I want to share... it ties in with what we were saying before about, like the main theme of the book, is that as a society, we so underestimate the older generation.
Absolutely, we do. Yes.
And how like this book serves as a lesson to remind ourselves that the elderly are people too.
And they matter.
They might be a little bit more frail, but they've lived very extraordinary lives. Mm-hmm. And for some unknown reason, we seem to forget that.
Yeah, I think it's a very Western culture, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, I mean, we talk about this sometimes, like with how tribal people would worship their elders. Yeah. Eastern culture as well, like, you know, Japanese culture is very much respecting elders.
Yes.
And, you know, we don't
not
do that.
Us.
We're like, oh, go on.
We're like,
get out of here, mate.
Go on to the retirement
village. Don't pay tax. Get out of here. You're a stain on society.
Yes, absolutely.
Pension? Get out of here.
You're on the pension.
You're on the pension.
So my last quote, I think, really encompasses, it's such a reminder of that. And, you know, obviously it's prevalent throughout, but this one quote, I was like, wow. And I'm ashamed that it did stick with me, but yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a good thing.
Let me begin. Not today, old son. Afraid not, says Ron, turning back to the crowd. We're all weak, Mr. Bentham. You can see that, right? Look at us. Give us a nudge and we'd topple over. That's the last you'd see of us. We're feeble, the lot of us. We're a pushover. A pushover, eh? Should be easy. But you know there's a few people here who've done a few things in their life. Am I right? Cheers.
Yeah.
There's a few people here who've seen off, and no disrespect, better men than you. Ron pauses and looks around at his audience. We've got soldiers here, one or two. We've got teachers. We've got doctors. We've got people who could take you apart and people who could put you back together. We've got people who crawled through deserts, people who built rockets, people who locked up killers. And insurance underwriters, shouts Colin Clements from Ruskin to a happy applaud. In short, Mr. Bentham, says Ron, his arms sweeping, we got fighters and you, with your diggers at 7:30 in the morning, have picked a fight.
Dun, dun, dun.
I loved that.
Yeah.
Do you think that's such a... And I'm sorry, it's more of a passage than a quote.
Well, but it shows that people have had lives, obviously.
And they're mad. And I think you think of old people as pushovers, you know, in this retirement village. Yeah. And this is probably the first time in this book where we see a lot of them be like, no, like, you can't do that. And it turns out that Mr. Bentham doesn't, like, he's the pushover in that situation.
Yes, yes.
He doesn't go through with what he's doing at that exact time.
Because he's like, all right.
Yeah,
all
he's
right,
like, oh, off. A bit taken all aback right, by it. All right. Because what do you do when you know, you
the
thought this was going to be
up.
Easy,
yeah.
and then all of a sudden it's really hard, and you're like, oh, shit, like, I underestimated the older generation.
Yeah. Again.
Again. Yeah, again. When will we learn?
No, we never will.
So, yeah, great passage. And I hope that, obviously, this book is probably 50-50 for both of us. Like,
I think
we
so
love
too.
It, but we aren't 100% sure about it.
Well, it's not our genres either. We don't read crime, and
not.
I think maybe that's
Glad I read it. And, and I did actually enjoy it, and I really liked the characters, and I thought it was really funny.
Who would you recommend it to?
Okay, that's a good question. I don't know. Because I think if you are a big crime fanatic, would you like how slow-paced it is?
Yeah, probably not.
It's quaint, and it's very Midsummer Murders, so would you like that?
Well, okay, well then, here is a thing. Then if you like Midsummer Murders...
I think you'd really like
this. Like this.
I think you'd really like this. I think that anyone who likes general fiction should give it a go.
Yeah, and just that British kind of humour kind of, you know.
I don't think it's necessarily, because it isn't too much, you know, crime, thriller, sort of mystery book.
Yeah.
And it's funny, and it's, a bit slow paced, and it's a nice, wholesome book, actually.
Yeah,
I really
exactly.
liked it.
Yeah.
And it's sweet at times, it's funny, it's witty, it's cheeky.
It's actually quite...
It's also clever.
It's a little... There's little moments of, not sadness, but just realisation of, like...
Yeah.
You know, people have lost... They've lost things, and they've
Everyone
experienced
in this,
suffering
in
their
life.
Yeah,
every character has pretty much lost someone.
A backstory of
They've
of
got
grief
a backstory.
And,
Yeah, and
loss.
No one's kids visit them.
No
like,
one's
that's
kids
a part
visit
of it,
them.
You know?
Which happens... All the time,
mm-hmm.
by the
it
way.
Really does.
It's insane to me that this happens, actually, because, like, they, when my friend worked at a aged care place, and she said, they all pretty much just wait around hoping that they'll have visitors. And I'm like, that's so sad.
Oh.
Like, imagine going through the trauma of, you know how I feel about children. Imagine going through the trauma of raising children, and then being, and they don't even come.
Oh.
I'd be like, what a fucking waste of time.
I know. It's so true. You sort of push them off into a old folks home.
May as well solve
and then
a murder.
That's it. And like, I like that instead of, you know, them just waiting out their days to die, essentially, they're like, no, I want to keep my mind agile.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're going to do this Thursday Murder Club.
Exactly.
And they all have such great talents.
Yeah.
It's
Absolutely.
Highlighting.
They all bring
just
something.
Just because you live in a retirement village doesn't mean that it's all
it's
over
all
for
over,
you.
Red Rover, yeah.
No. They've still got lives to live. Like, the fun is only beginning.
The
with
fun
this.
Has just begun, yeah.
That's why I do want to keep reading the series.
Oh, okay. One thing we have to talk about before we end this podcast is that the fact that Steven Spielberg...
Yes.
Has bought the film rights to this and is intending on making a film. Big
news.
Great news. Well
Big
done,
news.
Richard.
Yes.
I'm going to send Richmond again. Well done, Richard. Yay.
And I do have to say, so we...
Would this be picked up if he wasn't famous? Probably not.
I don't know. I
Would it be made into a film if he wasn't
think,
someone?
I think it still would.
Okay. Interesting.
I think it still would because it's got that quirk.
It had a quirkiness, yes. A bit different.
It's quirky,
yeah.
It's different, and it's got that, like, it factor of, like...
Venice.
Of course I would want to watch a movie about four, like, people in an old folks home...
How hilarious.
...solving crime. Like, of course I'd want to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's...
It's funny.
It's got that quirky it factor, and I think that's what... like, these days you need to have a really great concept for a movie.
True.
And
concepts
sell tickets, you know?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Like, that's why you go. Like, you don't go because you've already seen the movie and you know exactly what happens. Like, the plot and the gist of it is what sells it to you. And
true.
I think this sells.
Yeah.
But so we have another lot of beef.
Yeah.
about the film
we
adaptation.
We both have beef about this.
But so originally we thought this was like a sort of fake news article that we read. Yep. But I did some digging. It's actually from The Telegraph. So
it's from The Telegraph.
Like a legit article.
Because we saw it on MSN and we thought,
yeah, it was not, syndicated from The Telegraph, though.
Yeah.
So according to this... The Telegraph
according
to this Telegraph. According to this article in The Telegraph, they are going to be using actors in their 50s.
Yes. Now, the reason...
is not an accurate...
Yes. Portrayal of the characters at all.
They're probably... I don't even know. Would you say like...
Well, they're pushing 80. So like 70s.
I would say they're in their 80s. Aww. And then there's some characters who are in their 90s.
Yeah.
There are... I don't know. It's hard to tell, but they're definitely over 50. They're older.
Oh, yeah.
They're not early retirement days.
50s, you're still working, for God's sake.
In this economic climate,
you work till you're dead in this day and age. 90, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
No rest for the wicked. What I was going to say, though, is, yeah, so we have beef about this because, obviously, it's not an accurate portrayal and it furthers the divide of, you know, not hiring older actors, which always happens. I mean, I know that what's her name who plays Samantha Jones in the Sex and the City thing had massive beef about this.
Cynthia Nixon,
yeah, of not hiring older women in the industry. Yes. Like, they always get typecast as mums and shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous when you think about it. Like, this is just what happens. This is the industry we live in. We're obsessed with youth.
Yeah.
But Steven Spielberg has been quite transparent with his reason, I would say, and that is the fact that he fears that they may die before the series is made. Maybe
he's expecting to make like a big series. Maybe it's going to be like 6 books.
Well, considering it's quite a big promise to make, considering that this first film may just completely flop, and so for him to go, oh, I'm only going to hire actors that are in their 50s. And then the movie flops, probably more won't get made.
Yes.
You know, but then it is Steven Spielberg. So, be unusual. Also quite unusual for him to actually even do this in the first place, considering that Steven Spielberg is... Oh, actually, no, he's not directing it. He's just... His production company bought it, didn't it?
Or is he directing it? I think he is directing it.
Very strange, considering that he does science fiction as most of his films.
Yeah.
So, it's very different.
But I think a lot of directors do have a broad range, though. And he is one of those directors that, like, I think he's, like, got that.
Oh, he's very good.
Yeah, I think
very good. I love Steven Spielberg's movies. Yeah. Like, you see Steven Spielberg and you're like, oh, I've got to see that. Which is quite new in the 21st century. Like, usually it's all about actors. But when you see a movie like Tenet, Christopher Nolan...
You see the movie because of Christopher Nolan, not because of the actors.
Yep. Yeah, which is very new.
Yeah.
So hopefully writers will have that one.
It's a little bit disappointing. Like, I don't know who you think could portray these actors who are in their 50s.
Yeah.
But in this same article, a lot of fans were saying that Dame Helen Mirren would be... Sorry. Dame Judi Dench.
Judi Dench would be
a great... Yeah. Elizabeth.
Yes, 100%.
Maybe even Dame Helen Mirren as Joyce.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah.
But, like, there's so many good, like, Maggie Smith, like, there's so many good older actresses out there.
Well, and actors as well.
Yeah.
Michael Caine, hello.
Yeah. Yes, amazing. Michael Caine. Yeah, I could see him as Ron.
Yeah, 100%, right?
Yeah,
so could I. But, like, what's this fear, man? Michael Caine's amazing.
Wow. I could also see,
Abraham. Richmond, bloody hell.
I could see him as, who is the black actor who plays God in everything?
Oh, Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman. For God's sake, how could you forget Morgan Freeman?
Sorry.
Apologize.
I could see...
Morgan Freeman, 100%.
Morgan Freeman 100%. As Israel.
Yeah.
Ibrahim. I could definitely see him as Ibrahim.
Mm-hmm.
I think it needs to be an older cast in order for it to work.
Yeah, I don't see anyone like
Tom
Cruise is in his 50s, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
I think 50s is too young. Maybe it's too 60s, young. Yeah. Maybe, but like
yeah.
Well, I think it's going to be a bit of a stretch.
Even then.
You know, they would need to make sure it's really good actors.
Yeah. Well, then they might do up makeup and stuff.
Actually what he said to they would the do. They're doing makeup, yeah, and prosthetics and stuff. I don't know how I feel about it. Yeah. I get it. Don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree.
But look, it's something to look forward to. Yeah. And
we'll see it. We'll go see it. We'll review it when we see it as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I definitely think I will be reading the second book.
Yeah.
So what do you think your overall star rating would be out of 5?
Look, when I first finished it, I was a solid 3. And that's because I think that's because of the audiobook.
Do you know what as well? I want to say something. I feel so bad giving a 3. But a 3 is like...
Oh, 3's good,
a
man.
A 3's like a C.
If I said like 2, you'd be like, whoa.
I would like, be like 2 and 1 is bad.
But 3 is like, it was okay.
A 3 was...
It wasn't amazing. It wasn't like jaw-dropping. It wasn't the happiest man on earth. 5-star, you know, it wasn't Crawdads, 5-star.
Yep.
It wasn't Addie LaRue, also 5-star. But it's a good read. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's like, it's just nice. It's just a nice read, you know? But then again, now I've kind of changed this because now that this always happens when we talk about it and stuff.
It brings up stuff. Half the time, you ask me one good question and you're like, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Open up a can of worms.
So I think now... My rating has increased by 0.5, which is, so I'd give it a 3.5 out of 5.
I think I would do the same.
Yeah.
3.5. And, you know, a part of me felt bad about that because I was really looking forward to this book.
Yeah.
But I don't think
but the next one could be like 4 or 5, you know?
And like a 3.5 is like above average.
3.5 is good.
You know, I'm happy
with 3.5. It's just a decent read, you know?
It was a good read.
Level read, you know?
I just think, I got a bit lost.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I would recommend it to people. Yeah. I think it was a good book. Yeah. It just wasn't the best book I've ever read.
Yeah, exactly.
I am excited to see the developments with this adaptation for film. And I will definitely give the second book a go as well.
Yeah, for sure.
It promises to be a little bit less confusing.
Yeah, a little bit less confusing, yeah. Well, I think that's pretty much
it
for this review. Now...
On the 8th, we're going to be reading Holiday Swap by Maggie Knox, our first Christmas read.
It's a rom-com, contemporary romance.
So, sounds lovely. The month of December, we're going to be doing 2 Christmas books, so that'll be exciting. And then, we'll continue doing 2 books per month all throughout next year.
Should be exciting. That's a solid thing. Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Leave us a nice review.
Follow us
on Instagram. We're going to be planning our books for the new year, so let us know. Slide into our DMs, email us, do whatever you have to. Let us know what books you want us to read. It should be a good new year. So thank you. We will see you on the 8th.
Bye.
Bye.